Ut astus te crucialino, nadrapaya evangesa, turbid bams de phobiaum, ramas chakra sahidvadam. Translation. Hereafter, by the benediction of Jamadagni, Lord Parashuram's mother and brothers immediately came alive and were very happy, as if awakened from sound sleep. Lord Parashuram had killed his relatives in accordance with his father's order, because he was fully aware of his father's power, austerity, and learning. Next text. My dear King Pritchett, the sons of Kartavyarjuna, who were defeated by the superior strength of Parashuram, never achieved happiness, for they always remembered the killing of their father. Purport. Jamadagni was certainly very powerful due to his austerities, but because of a slight offense by his poor wife, Renuka, he ordered that she be killed. This was certainly a sinful act, and therefore Jamadagni was killed by the sons of Kartavyarjuna, as described herein. Lord Parashuram was also infected by sin because of killing Kartavyarjuna, although this was not very offensive. Therefore, whether one be Kartavyarjuna, Lord Parashuram, Jamadagni, or whoever one may be, one must act very cautiously and sagaciously. Otherwise, one must suffer the results of sinful activities. This is the lesson we receive from the Vedic literature. Om again, Timidam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shri Advaita Vasudeva Guru, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, what do you make of all this? Very intense section of Bhagavatam, which is clearly outside the parameters of conceptions today. First of all, you have in the previous chapter the sage Richita, and he had a wife and a mother-in-law, of course. So both of them desired benedictions to have good sons. So the Chitta prepared a sacrificial offering for the two of them. And he told them, and he gave specifically one of each of the two to the wife and to the wife's mother. The mother-in-law calculated that whatever he gave his wife must be better than what he gave me. Isn't the nature of material existence. You're always on the lookout who has better. It's called, in technical terms, social comparison. And the age of Kali relies heavily upon social comparison. Look around and see what others have. Why don't you have it? There must be something wrong with you, or most likely, there's something wrong with them. Look around and base your needs and wants according to what everyone else has. So, the mother of Vichika's wife, his wife's name was Satyavati, calculated, okay, he gave two sacrificial offerings for us to drink, one to my daughter and one to me. Obviously, because my daughter is his wife, she got the better. And better results will come by whoever drinks her offering. So the mother then pulled rank on her daughter. She said, hey, you give me your offering, and I'll give you mine. So as a result, they did that. They switched. And when the husband of Satyavati The chief heard about this. He was very angry. In other words, by this silliness, you gummed up the whole process in terms of what you're going to be able to conceive. An intelligent parent is concerned about what is the result of conception. Of course, in the age of Kali, everyone is mainly concerned with the activity of conception, especially the men. But how much thought is given to the outcome of the conception? What is the quality of the child? These days, if the child does survive conception and is not aborted, well, first of all, if the child's allowed to be conceived without any contraceptive barriers, then there's no consideration of what that child's spiritual future will be. The age of Kali means everyone is covered by passion and ignorance. So you just do things based on how you feel at the moment. And how you feel at the moment is based on your wild mind as well as your current biological phases. So there are powerful drives that are set loose, and you identify those drives as yourself. The wildness of the mind, inherited from countless lifetimes, and also the power of your hormones, the power of whatever particular biological influences your body is supplying at the moment. So all this makes for conception. There's no thought that one is bringing into the world a child that will affect the whole world. The problems of the world today are due to the parents bringing into the world low-quality children. But who cares about that? You don't see that quality before you engage in conception, so what you don't know won't hurt you. The main thing is some other do it. Worry later. It'll work out. And of course, once the conception is done, you still don't worry that much because, after all, the government is there to pay money, and the government doesn't care about the quality of the consciousness of the child. So all this madness contributes greatly to sum total of social problems. Rishika Muni was angry, therefore. You've screwed up the whole system. I did give a particular oblation to my wife, Satyavati, and to her mother. But you switched. So as a result, this is what's going to happen. He told his wife, you're going to give birth to a fierce Kshatriya who will annihilate all miscreants. And your mother is going to give birth to a very peaceful, tolerant, ideal Brahma. So, even in relationships with sages, ladies have their sway. So Satyavati begged her husband, Rishika Muni, please forgive, please make some adjustment to your curse. Well, it wasn't exactly a curse, but just Rishika Muni was pointing out, these are the results of what you've done. His wife begged him, so he said, okay. Your child, he told his wife, your child will be a very peaceful Brahmana, but your grandchild will be the fierce annihilator, Kshatriya. So obviously, the wife backed off with that. After all, her child was going to be the peaceful one. As far as her grandchild, that's someone else's problem. Is that the way it goes? You know, you just deal with what's around you, you know? This is the Age of Kali standard. Of course, we're not dealing with the Age of Kali here, but we're dealing with our Age of Kali perceptions. Let's just get it on somehow or other. Worry about the future when it comes. Planning for the future? Why should you plan for the future? After all, if you don't like the present deal you have, there's always divorce. If you don't like to have a child, there's always abortion. In fact, if you want to avoid having a child in the first place, it's contraception. As far as proper spiritual and material facilities for the child, why worry about that? The government will give some kind of social welfare money. Spiritually, well, anyway. If the child wants to be a devotee, that's the child's business. That's the child's own affair. The parents are just responding to the pressures of the moment. I need someone now. That's the main thing. That's because the parents are not trained how to proceed soberly. They're not trained in how to have a progressive lifestyle, an organized lifestyle. Everything is willy-nilly, helter-skelter. Let's do it now. This is the benediction of Kali Yuga. Passion and ignorance. And when you totally make a wreck of things, when you totally destroy yourself, then what is your only recourse? Not surrender to Krishna. No. The saving grace is intoxication. So this is what goes on today. Alright, so Ruchikamuni's wife, Satyavati, had a great sage named Jamadagni. And he was empowered to have a kamadhenu, a cow that could supply for unlimited persons. The great warrior Kartavirjuna came to visit Jamadagni with thousands of his soldiers. This Kartavirjuna had mystic power. He had 1,000 arms. He had wealth, strength, opulence, mystic cities, and he had 1,000 arms. You shouldn't take this as a fairy tale. Just like there's technology today, that's a kind of mystic power. iPhones and IT and computers and drones and all sorts of things like that. That's very crude mystic power. So in Vedic times, people had subtle mystic powers, which didn't need factories to produce them. So Kartavirjuna, when he went to see Jamadagni and saw that the one cow was satisfying the needs of thousands of persons, unfortunately he became envious. Why should Jamadagni have such a cow? I am the great Kartavirjuna. I deserve that cow. Envy is the basis of material life. Why should you have something? I should have it. As I often point out, you never envy someone who has something worse than you. You have a fever, why don't I have a fever? But you envy someone when they have something better. And people respect them more. They have a better looking wife or husband. You always find something to envy, someone to envy in material consciousness. It's just a question of time before you latch on to someone to envy, because envy is part of material life. So this was Kartavirjuna's mistake. Why does this sage, Jamadagni, have such a cow? One cow that can satisfy everyone. It's too much. I should have that cow. So after Kartavirjuna and his troops left, He arranged to have that cow stolen from Jamadagni. Now remember the benediction, well not the benediction, the solution given by Vichika Muni to his wife Satyavati. Your son is going to be a great sage, very peaceful, that's Jamadagni. But your grandson is going to be a fierce warrior. That was Parashuram, the Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord. A jiva, especially empowered with the capacity to annihilate miscreants. So, when Parashuram heard that his father's Kamadhenu cow had been stolen, he immediately got into action, and he slaughtered countless troops of Kartavirajan, and then he killed Kartavirajan. He chopped off each of the 1,000 arms very easily, and then he cut off his head and returned the cow, who had been suffering very much, returning the cow to Jamadagni. You might say, all this trouble just for a cow? That's Kali Yuga vision. All that just for a cow? This shows how dull our consciousness is. Cows are helpless creatures who simply give benefit. There are certain living entities that Vedic civilization always promises protection to. Cows, children, women, and old men. They're always to be protected by society. Not just the old men, but old men and women. But women are also to be protected. They're not to be exposed to harm. They're to be held as very valuable and delicate. The current culture, of course, couldn't care less about that. Everyone is to be exploited, especially cows and women, and now children. Child pornography is so big on the internet. You might say, well, who could ever be so crazy as to be interested in such? But no, there's a big market for it. Chewing the Jew. Seeing adults in lusty acts is not enough. Now you have to see children doing the same thing. This is Maya. You're never satisfied. You have to go from one degradation to another. Once you get caught in that cycle, it goes on and on, lower and lower. Therefore today, children are not protected. Parents think, we had some children. Now, we parents don't get along. We don't have any deep obligations to the children. The government will take care of them. Of course, women, they're treated in the roughest way and then told, this is freedom. You're just as good as everyone else. You can even fight in the army. One high-ranking officer in the U.S. military, she was asked, she's like a brigadier general. She was during the war with Iraq. She was captured, and she underwent some torture, including sexual harassment. So now that the U.S. military is allowing women to fight in combat positions by popular demand from the ladies. We want our share of death. Why should the men only be slaughtered? We want equal rights. We want combat. Whatever they can do, we can do. They can die, we can die. So, She was asked for her opinion. What do you think about ladies in combat? After all, you were an officer and you were captured in the war with Iraq. And you were sexually molested by the enemy. What are your concerns? He said, well, if you're referring to when I was a prisoner of war and I was captured by the enemy, sexual harassment was the least of my concerns. In other words, I was just trying to stay alive. I mean, as far as sexual harassment, oh, it happens, you know. This happens, you know, it's just part of life. And it wasn't a concern for me. But this is the Kali Yuga standard, that nothing is held sacred and no one is protected. Everyone's allowed to rough it, and then you're taught that this is advanced life. Children can rough it, women can rough it, old people can rough it. No one needs to be coddled. No one needs to be facilitated in any special way. It's exploitation across the board. That's advanced society. Children, they're told by their parents, look, I don't know, you don't know, just find your own truth. It's like setting a babe out into the dangerous forest at night, full of forest full of fierce animals. Look, dear, just follow your dream. Find your own meaning. This is not protection. Women are told, you don't need any special consideration. In other words, make yourself available to every man, and that's advancement. Out of this old-fashioned stuff that there's something special about a woman's chastity. Just like in one of the purports, we read that different types of persons have different types of beauty. For a brahmana, the beauty of a brahmana is forgiveness and tolerance. When a brahmana practices that, the brahmana becomes beautiful. For a kshatriya, the beauty of a kshatriya is heroism in giving protection, cutting down miscreants. For a vaishya, the beauty is using money to sponsor cultural events as well as protecting cows. So when the vaishya does those two activities, the vaishya becomes very beautiful. If you look at Julianakasi, it looks beautiful. Sure, it fights my dream. And then a shudra becomes beautiful by faithfully following the master's instructions. An ugly person becomes beautiful by having knowledge, by being very learned. Even an ugly person is considered beautiful. And a woman is considered beautiful by being chaste and faithful to her husband. Sounds old-fashioned. What is chasteness to a husband after anything to do with the standard of beauty? Beauty means nail polish, eye, whatever they do to their eyes. Expose as much flesh as possible. That's beauty. Just think. Think of your Kali, use your Kali Yuga intelligence. How can beauty of a woman have anything to do with chasteness to her husband? How retro is that? What kind of book is this that's talking about that stuff? Yes, the Bhagavatam is of a different standard. The Bhagavatam is of a different world. We don't apologize for that. So, Kartavyarjuna was killed because he stole a cow from Jamadagni. And so now the cow was returned. The cow had been suffering very much. The intricacies don't end. Jamadagni's wife went to get water from the Ganga for a yajna. Her name is Renuka. Because her husband's always performing yajnas. So she went to get the raw materials. While she's at the Ganga, she saw the king of the Gandharvas. The Gandharvas are Upadevas, sub-demigods. Somehow or other they were on earth, and she saw them. She saw the king and heavenly planet girls enjoying in the river. And she started getting attracted to the king of the Gandharvas. Oh, how handsome, how, I don't know, whatever the ladies think when they... She just thought that in her mind, that's all. And then she realized, oh, time has passed. I'm going to be late bringing the materials for the yajna. So she went back to her husband, Jabhagandhi. And she knew she was late. And she knew by his mystic power, he would know why she was late. This is what happens when you marry a great sage. She knew that he knew, and he did know. With his mystic power, she could see. You loitered at the riverbank, staring at the king of the Gandharvas with a lusty desire. So, he, for some reason, although he's supposed to be a super brahmana, that means qualified with forgiveness, for some reason, he took such an extreme stance. He told his sons that you should kill your mother. He asked the sons to do that, but they refused. Why should we kill our own mother? So then Jamadagni ordered his youngest son, Parashuram, not only to kill the mother, but kill the brothers who had disobeyed his order. The mother had committed mental adultery, and the brothers had not taken any action. So Parashuram considered the situation with a cool head. He knew the power of his father. He knew that his father could be angered and his father could be pleased. And when his father is pleased, he could grant any benediction. So Parashuram instantly calculated. According to Vedic injunctions, I am always to carry out the order of the father. The son is meant to do that. This order is particularly horrible, but my father has the mystic power to counteract whatever is done. So immediately, Parashuram killed his mother and brothers. Oh, horrible. Then his father, Jamadagni, is so pleased. Oh, my son, you are so obedient, just as Parashuram had predicted. You may take any benediction you like. And what was Parashuram's answer? Let my mother and brothers live again. Furthermore, let them not remember they've been killed by me. This is the benediction I ask. So, by the benediction of Jamadagni, as we heard today, Lord Parashuram's mother and brothers immediately came alive and were very happy, as if awakened from sound sleep. Lord Parashuram had killed his relatives in accordance with his father's order because he was fully aware of his father's power, austerity, and learning. So note that they awakened as if from a sound sleep. This is what the Shastra describes a death is like. Just like you go to sleep every night, You don't know where you're going to go. And then you wake up in the morning. Similarly, death is like that. You go into a deep sleep and you have no idea where you're going to wake up. Just think. I wonder, when you take rest every night, do you think that you might not wake up? How many of you think like that? Raise your hands. Very few of you. You just automatically go to sleep and assume, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. Whereas death is just like going to sleep at night, except you don't wake up in the same body. You wake up in another body. When you're asleep, you're so trusting, you're lost. You're lost to yourself. You're totally at the mercy of unknown factors. That's considered a sound, good sleep, when you just lose track of yourself completely. Doctors will tell you, you had a good sleep. And maybe you can remember some nights when you had a really deep sleep. You slept really deeply, like after some energetic devotional service, or hours of kirtan, like at our festivals. When you go to sleep, you're just knocked out. But you're so trusting. But you can't remember when you wake up what you were thinking about when you're sleeping. No, death is like that. Except you wake up in a different body. So in the case of Parashuram's mother and brothers, they immediately came back to life in the same body. And they were very happy. They simply thought that they'd awakened from a sound sleep and they couldn't remember that their own son or brother had killed them. This is proper discipline. Parashuram's taking the order of his father, and it's used as an example by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as how to carry out the order of the spiritual master. Of course, this is a different age when everyone had special abilities for the most part. And so Parashuram knew his father had special abilities. Obviously, you're not recommended to follow in Parashuram's footsteps. Simply, you can appreciate the discipline he had to execute the order of his father, even though that order was extremely bizarre. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is quoted as an example of how to follow the order of the Guru. This, as well as Lord Ram accepting banishment to the forest right before he was meant to be coronated as king. Without batting an eye, so to speak, he left for the forest. Similarly, Parashuram, without batting an eye, so to speak, killed his mother and brothers upon the order of the father. So we shouldn't take all this out of context. Like, ooh, is this what bhakti is all about? This is a different age when everyone knew that death is no big deal. And there were mystic powers even to counteract death. We live in a different time now, and we have to be very concerned. For the sake of our outreach activities, we have to be very concerned with public opinion. We're not concerned with public opinion to the point that we'll change our tune, we'll change our philosophy, we'll change our rules. But we are concerned with public opinion in terms of doing anything that could be considered a criminal act according to the laws of the land, and doing anything that would smear our reputation as saintly persons. But we're very concerned about those things. It's a different time than when Parashuram lived. Parashuram's time was full of extraordinary personalities who had mystic powers, and so even death did not frighten them. now in the Kali Yuga that we live in. The same death is there, and how do people cope with death? They don't worry about it. Hey, when it happens, it happens. No need to think about it, just party now. The future of this history of Parashuram is that the sons of Kartavyarjuna want to take revenge because Parashuram killed their father. And so they're going to do something horrible, and Parashuram is going to deal with that. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.